everyone, and welcome back to the Walking Dead series by The Verdict Sin. I'm your host, Nicole.
I'm Gary.
And today we are talking about The Walking Dead Season 7, Episode 16, entitled The First Day of the Rest of Your Life. It's written by Scott Gimple, Angela Kang, and Matthew Negrett, and directed by Greg Nicotero. Gary, we watched the episode twice, including the Instinct cast. What are your overall thoughts?
I thought this was a great episode. I've seen a lot of reviews online and heard a lot of people say that they didn't like it so much. They didn't like the back and forth with the Sasha. Sasha kind of killed everything. You know, the scenes they threw in there with her, just in her feelings with the headphones on. And I actually loved those scenes. I loved how they put everything together. I loved how they showed the flashbacks. Well, all of it was flashbacks. I love how they showed the flashbacks to her speaking to Abraham. Her speaking to
Maggie.
And also the flashbacks where, like, right before everything took place. This was a well-written episode. No complaints.
I thought the episode was pretty good as well. It wasn't their best. It wasn't their worst. It was good. It was a good episode. At first, I thought it was a little underwhelming.
You know what? How are you going to say best and worst in it? I mean, you can't even give a rating. From 1 to 10, what do you give it?
Just based off Walking Dead, not like in the whole entire television world.
That's what we're talking about. Well, you said their episodes.
Let's just compare it out of Walking Dead, I give it a 7.
Okay, that's solid.
Yeah, but if we're comparing to like all the television shows in the world,
but why would you do that?
Well, I wouldn't. That's why I said I'm giving it a 7 because it wouldn't even compete if it was compared to all the shows in the world.
I mean, why are we still talking about other shows?
Okay. It was a good episode. I enjoyed it. It was entertaining. And we have a lot of likes. Like, I think this might be the most amount of likes. So clearly, I don't have that much to complain about. First list on likes is flashback to Abraham and Sasha discussing, like, since, as you said, these scenes took place several different times. So each time it came on, they said something I liked, I wrote it down as a note. So it may come up in our likes a few times. But just first seeing that their flashback, and I realized, oh, that's the day. Like, that was the day Abraham got killed. And this was their conversation that took place leading up to his death.
Right. And it's funny, she had a bad vibe about the situation.
Right. Like, thinking that she's like, I had a dream that you died. But in the end, when she said it was from, you know, you were at a beach, and he's like, man, I don't even like beaches. So it would have been even more freakier. She was like, you got like beat with a bat. Like, that would have been Well, we would have known about that. She would have told, hopefully she would have told somebody that earlier in the season, you know, like, I had a dream he got beat by a bat. Like, okay, then you're a psychic.
Do you think the dream was for a reason? Because she was obviously like nervous, like very nervous about him going out there. She even said, you know, this is Maggie's problem. Let Maggie take care of Maggie.
Right, which I think she later regrets. Even Abraham brings it to her. Like, I know you regret saying that. This, you know, this is what we do. Everyone else's problem is our problem. But no, I think her having that dream is just, or a nightmare, you can say, is just something that they probably all have. I mean, we've seen Rick have nightmares. They're living in the zombie apocalypse where people kill people for no reason. I mean, people could say the world's like that today, but no, it's like really, really dangerous. So I can only imagine that you're always having nightmares. Every time you know you're going to go on a run, it's like, wait, I don't want to leave. Like, you know, so even Maggie has said that to Glenn before in past seasons. Like, when Glenn has gone out, no, does it have to be you? Why does it have to be you? That's just something you say to someone when you're in love and you don't want them to risk their life.
I agree. But do you think that stays on your mind? Do you think that that's something that she's been thinking about? Like, wow, if I only got him to stay.
Yes and no. Because she can always think, if I only got him to stay. But at the same time, she, even though she was in love with Abraham, if she only got him to stay, someone else would have died. So then it's almost like wishing, well, if he hadn't gone, maybe Rick would have got the bat. And if she started thinking that, she would have felt even more guilty, based on the fact that she already thought something bad about, you know, saying, hey, Maggie could take care of herself. So, no, I don't think she thinks that, because she knows, like Abraham said, he was willing to sacrifice himself for other people.
Right.
Tara telling Daryl to kill Dwight. I kind of liked it, although I thought it was out of character for her because she just seems always so positive. But when she was like, do it, Dwight, do it, I was like, damn.
It did belong to me. I didn't get that part.
I liked it, but I was like, that's like not that. Tara.
I mean, I love the scene too. I'm not going to lie. But she was just like that naggy thing over your shoulder. Do it.
Do it, do it.
Do it, Dwight, do it.
Yeah, it was like the little devil on your shoulder. Do it, do it. And then I'm thinking, Tara, why don't your ass do it? Do you not have a gun right
That's
now?
That's what I said during the show. Did you? I said, why don't she do it?
Right. Do it, do it. Like, come on. And then she has the nerve to give him the stink eye later on when she was sitting on the stairs and he looks back and she's just staring at him. Like, no, Tara, you have playing chances. Why were you? It was like you were trying to get... Like, she was trying to get her friend in trouble.
Like, she was trying to keep her hands clean.
Yeah, she was trying to keep her hands clean.
I can't kill no one else. Right. I'm at my killer limit. I'm going to start calling that the Morgan limit.
Right.
You know everybody's been there. Carol just left there. She was at the Morgan limit.
Everyone has their times when they're on that Morgan. Actually, I don't know why I have this on my likes. Maybe you told me to write it down, but it says Dwight saying that he was doing this for someone else, but now she's gone. When he told them, hey, that's why I was doing all that bad shit. I was doing it to protect my wife, and now that she's gone, I'm kind of going to be on your guy's side.
Yeah, I actually like that scene. And I like Dwight for saying that. Because we knew that Dwight went back because they didn't want to get in any more trouble, you know, after Daryl saved them. But it's good now that he admit that's why he was doing it. Like, I was doing it for somebody. Now that she's gone, she left. Now I don't have to do it anymore. Which I said during our Instacast that I actually believe Dwight, because everything he said he was going to do, he did. He said he was going to slow him down. The trees were there. We saw someone else pushing the cars. Dwight came up with a master plan. He told them they were coming. Get ready. And when we saw when Negan walked up to the trees after it was cut down all over the road, he said, do you think they did this? So that lets me know that Dwight worked solo.
No, I get what you're saying, but Dwight did a lot of shit, like a lot of unnecessary shit. So like he can't say, everything I did was for my wife. Like, no, dude, you did so many hurtful things. When you killed Denise, it wasn't for your wife. You know, whether you were aiming at one person or the other, it doesn't really matter. Like, you did a lot of stuff, and you can't say, oh, it was for my wife. Yeah, right. It goes back to, once again, that Walter White, the Breaking Bad situation. Like, dude, yeah, you probably did some stuff to protect you and your wife, but, like, even the doctor situation, like, you got the doctor, I mean, I can't say he got Dr. Phil killed, but his lie or his deceit led to the doctor getting killed. Once again, who did you do that for? Your wife was already gone.
I mean, of course, some things he did for himself, but I believe him, the majority of things he did for his wife. I mean, who knows what Negan would have did to his wife if he would have just came up short on a little mission, didn't bring back somebody, didn't go out and kill him.
I still call bullshit to it. I really do.
Because Daryl, he did a lot of necessary things, but he did a lot of good things also.
Dwight.
Yes, I'm sorry. Dwight. I'm still confused with him.
All right, next on the list, when Negan finally says that one person has to die, I believe that was the moment that Sasha realized, okay, either that one person is going to be me or it's going to be you. But when she was like, yeah, you're right, just one person, I just kind of liked it because I knew it was, well, not watching the first time, but the second time, all the signs were there that she was going to kill herself, like almost from the very beginning, opening scene.
What open scene was her dying.
Yeah, it was her dying, which I didn't realize. I don't think I realized the first time, or I was in denial the first time. I don't know. But just going back and watching it again and just noticing all these little things that she's saying, it's like, yep, that's the moment she realized she's going to die.
And that's what I love about her scenes, because when it opened up, you see her with the headphones on. She likes to have like a killer orgasm or something, because you see her eyes roll up and she's smiling and everything, and her head falls to the side and her headphones fall out of her ears. So that lets me know that's exactly when she died, because the next scene they showed her, her headphones were back in, she was vibing again.
Right.
So I really liked how he did that.
Trash people having their trash trucks, you like that? And I didn't notice it Sunday night, but that was funny.
I love that they were in full character.
Yeah,
who do they go drive around in trash trucks?
I guess they were already there. So, and no one else is grabbing those. Like, no one else is going to, you know, like, try to hotwire a trash truck.
I mean, I just love how they put that together, because other times we saw them, they were walking. Remember, they walked all the way to Alexandria. Well, one of them walked all the way to Alexandria the first time when they followed. Who they follow back? I think they followed.
They were following Rick and Aaron, I think.
Aaron, yeah. They walked all the way there, and they stole a car to get back. So who would have known they had the cool trash trucks?
And then even Jade is saying, I'll lay with him after. Okay. Well, first she was like, is this you or something like that? Or
is this yours?
Yeah, is this yours? It was more like an ownership. And it was Sean's like, well, yeah, we're together. She's like, well, I lay with him after, okay? And Michonne was like, let's get back to work. Like, and even Rick looked like, oh, shit, do I really have to do this?
Well, that should have told them something. Like, if this is yours, you're about to die. He's yours now. I'll lay with him after.
Oh, that's, yeah. Like,
I'll lay with him after this little war, after this fight.
Right, right. Just as you mentioned, Dwight did slow down the Savior, so I liked that. It, just like Daryl said, it doesn't really matter if he's lying or not lying. If he's lying, I'm going to kill him slowly. Even if he's not lying, his ass still has to die.
That's how I feel about the trash people.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Definitely. We'll get to that. The looks on everyone's faces seeing Eugene on the mic. When he came in with the little megaphone thing, the disgust on Rosita's face was perfect. Rick was in disbelief.
Rick was in tears.
Yeah, it was just like, what am I seeing?
Especially when he said, I am Negan.
Oh, that had
like,
to hurt.
Like, it broke Rick's heart.
Yeah, that had to hurt. Like, dude, you were only there for 2 days. That's probably what they're thinking. Like, dude, this just happened, you know? Daryl was there for weeks and didn't break.
Eugene is an opportunist. And we were all discussing whether we should believe it or not. It happened. Eugene's been turned. And it didn't take much.
Not at all.
And he didn't have to threaten him. He didn't have to lock him up.
He didn't have to hit him. Not one time. They beat Daryl.
Yeah.
But I see some things that I think they're going to let us... that lets me to believe that they're going to have Eugene do some, like, I'm going to give up my life. I'm going to be the hero for once. I'm going to be brave and, like, try to die a hero type of thing next season. Like, I'm almost guaranteed they're going to go that route.
And they might... But the same way you feel about Dwight, I feel about Eugene.
Yeah, I know. See, I don't know. I said it, I think, on the instant cast, and I think I said it even last week, that Eugene can't be forgiven. But he can't be forgiven, but he can be exiled. Like, I don't wish death upon him or anything like that.
I don't wish death upon nobody. But when Eugene was talking to Sasha, he told her, he said, well, we're given an opportunity. But, you know, if they die, it's their option. I'm like, God damn, that's cold-blooded.
Yeah, because then she was like, they? Like, it's us. This is our people.
Right. So he already have it made up in his mind that he's Negan.
Yeah.
Everything that Rick's done for him.
Abraham's
done for him.
To see that Negan killed Abraham, who the main person who kept him safe. Yes, Abraham did give him, like, the worst ass-whooping ever. But still, this is the person that kept you safe for years. And you don't care, or you, that doesn't mean anything. Now you're like BFFs with the person that killed him.
That's crazy. And you don't care if your people die now.
Right. Like, there was no way out. He was saying all types of shit when he got there. Everything has been
a bunch of BS.
Everything, any ways out you're thinking of has been covered. Like, he said all that stuff.
Yeah. He really feels safe. And like we mentioned before, it's like someone beating up the bully. Or there's a big kid that beat up the bigger kid, or a bigger kid that beat up the big kid at a schoolyard. And now Eugene, he's that little kid that say, oh, you know what? I'm going to hang out with him now.
Right.
I feel safer with him.
All right. Negan was pretty funny throughout the episode, despite his evilness. But when he was talking to Rick, like, he was shit talking to him, he's like, you ever heard the one about Rick who don't give a shit about shit? Like, it was just so funny. I'm like, oh my gosh, Negan. Like, very funny.
Yeah, he kept a sense of humor to the end. But we did see him break his cool.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. When she became.
No, when Rick told him he was going to kill him.
Oh, yeah.
Rick told him he was already dead.
Yeah, that's on the list. And then here's another one, Negan, when he said, like, damn, I get me, my people, but Eugene? Like, when they were, he's like, y'all was just about to blow us up. He's like, you people are animals. it was so funny once again. I was like, okay.
I think that was more of a mindfuck Eugene. Like, see, I told you they didn't care about you.
Right, right.
you were the right, you were the right group now.
Yeah, and of course, we know it works on Eugene.
But, I mean, like I said, Rick looked sad when it happened. When he said, I'm Negan. But Rick was like, hey.
Hey, that's when he was like, let blow it loose. It. Yeah, blow it. All right, so when, once again, Negan was talking about what he wants from Rick, he's like, I want all your guns, one person for Lucille. So he was going to keep his word, I guess, to Sasha about the one person for Lucille. Daryl, got to get my Daryl back. He wants the pool table. Remember, he was playing pool with Spencer before he killed him.
Right.
And all the lemonade. And remember, Olivia made them lemonade.
Yeah.
Made him lemonade. So, like, it's those small things that makes Negan want to go forward with the lemonade and all that other stuff. So I thought that was funny.
And although Negan said he want one person and it'll be Rick's choice, you can't believe what Negan says.
Oh, no. Rick could have picked, like, it was probably going to be Carl no matter what. Like, Rick would have been like, all right, you know.
Well, Rick wouldn't have picked anybody.
You don't think so?
No.
He would have picked himself, maybe.
He wouldn't have picked anybody. I think Rick would have gave his little speech. You're already dead. And Negan would have had to pick somebody. Anyway.
Okay, the next one is real quick, only because we kind of already talked about it, but it's another flashback with Abraham and Sasha. And I just liked the second time around, I didn't notice it the first time. A lot of things I did not notice the first time. Maybe I was too excited and I was tweeting, whatever the case was. But, like, I didn't hear her say, Maggie has to take care of Maggie. But when I heard today, I was like, damn, that sounds so cold coming out. But when Abraham later on tells her, you know, I know you regret thinking it and saying Maggie has to take care of Maggie. Maggie's carrying the future. I like that part.
Right. And he says he will regret it.
Yeah.
And she will want to make up for that one day.
Right, right.
Which we see she has.
Yeah.
You know, she's been protecting Maggie this whole time at Hilltop.
Sasha telling Eugene she is not giving up on him. Hey, that's good for you, Sasha. More power to you. I don't know if we're fully on board with that. Or Gary, you already said no.
No. Yeah, Eugene can't come back.
Walker, Sasha almost getting Negan was kind of cool. I mean, in some ways, it was kind of like, damn, how did you not? Like, he wasn't expecting it. Like, it was the perfect opportunity.
Well, you know, that's the sneaky Walker thing again. You know, that you don't hear it growl and stuff till it's up on you.
Well, he did kind of mention it. He's like, yep, it's airtight. You know, she can't hear a thing. So that's when he's like, Sasha.
Well, I thought he said that because she had the headphones on.
Oh, okay. Didn't get that.
I mean, even if she can't hear anything, he can hear somebody going, rah, 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 you know, whatever the sound of Walker makes.
I thought that too. I did. I honestly thought that too. I was just going to let it slide because even when he, like, kind of hit it a little bit with his bat, I was thinking, wait, isn't he gonna hear like a pushback, or, you know, isn't she gonna be in there struggling in that little space?
Yeah.
Carl taking action, given those 5 seconds, he had just a few seconds to be able to, like, get up and start shooting, and I loved it.
Yeah. Now Carl is the future.
Yeah, Carl's the future. We know that for sure.
And I think if Carl would have never jumped to the action, no one would have followed. You know, they probably would have still been there just looking
frozen. Right.
And by Carl, you know, just looking and seeing and like, wow, this is my opportunity, and just taking action so quick, it allowed them time to at least kill a couple of the garbage kit people.
Yeah. Garbage Pail Kid.
Garbage Pail Kid. Yeah. And kill a couple of the saviors.
All right, Rick saying you're already dead. We kind of mentioned it, but when he said that, like, part of me loved it. Like, all of me loved it. But part of me, well, it's that, once again, that mindset of, you know, no talk back to Negan. Because part of me, I was like, Rick, why are you talking back? He's about to kill Carl. But at the same time, talk your shit, because he's killing Carl no matter what. Like, he was going to kill Carl. Rick could have pleaded and begged he was going to kill Carl. So it didn't really matter if Rick talked shit and said, hey, I'm going to kill you. You take my hands. You could take whatever, because he said, I'm going to kill you. Then I'm going to take your hands, Lucille. Like, ew, he's going to, like, bash his hands in. Once again, I'm not letting someone kill me with that bat. Like, once again, why are you guys sitting on your knees? Go out and go out swinging if you know they're going to kill you. That was my only complaint. But other than that, I did like Rick saying that to him.
I feel the same way. Like, why go out? Why let him hit you with Lucille?
Right. Like, no, you try to take that Lucille from him. Like, and if you get shot, you get shot. That's better than getting beat by Lucille.
You actually got to catch me.
Right. You're not sitting there and hitting me with that bat. I'd rather just get shot and you die from that. If you're going to die. I mean, some things are easier said than done.
Yeah. You're right.
I kind of thought that the other day I was watching season two of Fargo. And spoiler, on one scene, they're like, to the man, they had a hole. Go ahead and get in that hole. I'm like, the guy's like, no, please don't kill me. Like, dude, why are you getting in the hole? And they had a gun on him. Go ahead and lay down. Like, no, please, no. I'm like, dude, why are you laying down? Like, do you want to let them bury you alive? Like, you rather, you might as well get up and run.
You got to kill me outside this hole.
You're going to kill me out. You ain't going to end up putting me in the hole. I'm not getting in this hole. Sorry, dude. But, yeah. All right. Scavenger people using their smoke bombs. I really like that tactic. I think we definitely need to adopt it for season 8. I liked it.
Yeah, they're so in sync in every way.
Yeah, it's like they have their little gun. Gun goes off. We know if that gun goes off in the air, hey.
It's time to retreat.
It's time to retreat.
Time to go home. But like I said, the junkyard people, the garbage pail kids, they got to go.
And knowing them, well, hopefully knowing them, not hopefully, I'm hoping we kill them next season. But if they're smart, hopefully we're not going back home, like to where Rick and them know where they live already. They should already have like a second spot, like an emergency spot. Like, okay, if shit goes bad, we don't go back home. This is where we're going to go.
I understand what you're saying, but I don't think they think like that. And I don't think they care. And the problem with Rick going there, it's not going to be a fair fight because we're going to their territory. We don't know where they're at inside there. Because remember, when Rick and the group got there the first time, they came out of a junk pile.
Right.
They just came out of the middle of nowhere.
It was like a maze.
Right. So they could be hiding anywhere in that landfill, and we won't know, and we're not going to be able to get to them.
Now, I do hope Rick didn't tell them where they got those second part of those guns from.
I don't think so. I think Tara lied. They're not taking those guns back.
Well, not until the war's over for a while.
5 years down the road.
Yeah, 5 years later, it's like half of them are dead or whatever. It's like, oh, here's those guns, remember? Now, I think I mentioned the Instant Cast. I was like, why didn't they go and chase after them a little? Like, they should have went harder. And rewatching it seems like they did kind of go hard. They did chase after them.
Yeah, they went hard.
Yeah, there were people on the roofs. But even when they finally got the gate open, so a lot happened. Part of me still goes, keep going. But at the same time, I do feel they did their due diligence.
Well, we never got the gate open.
Oh, we never got the gate. Well, eventually we got the gate open. But
remember, Daryl seen it from he climbed up on the truck and saw that there was no one there from the inside.
Okay. This part, once again, did not see or did not notice until second watch, is when Negan asked Eugene, like, hey, how did Sasha die? So earlier, just a few minutes ago, you were mentioning how Eugene doesn't feel scared. I think he didn't feel scared, but look how Negan was kind of in that threatening manner, putting Lucille right in front of him, asking him, like, how did she die? And he's like, you know, she must have ran out of air.
Well, Negan is at the point where he thinks he can read people. He thinks he's just like the expert people reader. You saw how he kind of stared down the queen of the garbage pile and everything, and she backed off. She was like 10. But if you notice, every time Negan asks someone a question, he move into them close and he kind of stares at them, waiting for them to break. The one reason I think Eugene has the upper hand is he already figured them out. That's why Eugene didn't budge. He just said, hey, he said a whole bunch of big things. He said, yeah, I mean, right out of air.
Right.
And Negan stared at him a little longer to see what he like flinch a little bit, kind of look down, whatever. And Eugene didn't budge.
If I was Negan, I would be like, all right, we're going to try it. We're going to drive that same distance and see what happens. Put somebody else in there and see what happens. Test your theory out.
Nah, they don't have time for that.
Yeah, not this time.
I think Negan is scared now. Although he left with his middle finger in the air.
Yeah.
He's terrified.
Negan telling his people they're going to war. I liked it only because it was kind of like, okay, next season is going to be good.
Well, they don't have any other options. Because if you think about it, everybody, you know, their outpost or whatever that was going to, you know, collect from people, all those people are against him.
Right. He sees it. He sees that. He knows kingdoms there. He knows hilltops there. And you probably can see that he regrets ever not going inside the kingdom because they didn't know about Shiva.
Right.
Maggie and Jesus putting Sasha down. I like that. I mean, it was just kind of sweet. And I'm actually kind of liking the whole Maggie and Jesus relationship or friendship that they developed. They're like kind of like the new Carol and Daryl. So I like that.
That was sad.
It was. It was sad.
Just Sasha dying, period. And like I said last week, the week before, in an Instacast, I didn't think I'd feel any type of way about it. Because when they gave us a little fake out, when she ran in there, they're like, I'm glad this show's over.
Right.
Actually seeing her die tonight, how they built her character up, how they gave us the flashbacks, how they showed, you know, that she is missed. Especially when they showed Maggie. After Maggie buried her, and she's sitting there just bawling, tears coming out of her eyes. I was like, damn. Sasha's gone.
Yeah, it was a pretty emotional scene. And then next is Maggie saying that Glenn is what started it all. He didn't know Rick, but he put his life on the line to save him. I like that, but I also have to say, did we all forget about Morgan? He's the first one to save Rick. But I get where she was coming from. Yes, like, Glenn is what brought all of them together.
Right. He was that string. The string that tied, went from this end of the chute to the other end.
Right. Now, I will say, and tell me if you got this vibe as well. I got Terminator vibes throughout this whole episode.
Hey, Terminator?
Yeah, Terminator 2. Like Terminator 2/Terminator 3. Like Terminator 2 with Sasha being in the box or whatever. Remember in Terminator when John Connor had to be in the box?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then like all their little machine guns. And then like at the end with Maggie talking. If you ever seen Terminator 3 with Claire Danes, that was really good. I really like that one. Like at the end, it's her talking or John Connor, one of them talking. And they're like, the point wasn't for us to stop. What is the Terminator thing called? Whatever it's called. Not to stop Skynet. But it was to survive it. like I promise you, I'm laughing because if you watch Terminator 3, like that's so in my head, like that monologue or whatever.
Actually,
that,
you're right.
That speech, right. You know, of them saying that. And then it's like the music and it's like, you know, they were never supposed to stop Skynet. They're supposed to survive it and fight. And
so they were never supposed to stop the saviors.
Yeah, they're supposed to fight them. So they're
fight for their freedom.
It. Yeah. And then last on the list is the big three on stage. We got Rick, we got Ezekiel, we got Maggie. Diverse group.
That's big.
Yeah, I liked it.
And each representing something, representing their town.
Yeah. So like how you said a few weeks ago, I think when it kind of almost sounded as if eventually once all this dies down that Rick may be in charge, I don't see it like that. I see it going to be like a collective.
And that's how it should be.
Right.
And that's what I was saying. I was saying that why would you put one person in charge of all that? You're going to start having like the Negan effect all over again. That you have one person calling the shots. Next thing you know, people are going to be bowing to Rick.
Oh, no, we don't want that.
I don't see that happening. But you never know. This is probably how it started with Negan. You know, the outposts probably were like other people's places.
Yeah. I mean, we really need a flashback for Negan. And not like.
I have a feeling we're going to get one.
I would like a pre-zombie apocalypse flashback. Like, they can do it in one episode. They can do one Negan episode, pre-zombie, the beginning, the middle, and where they, you know, just boom, like, here we are now. All right, dislikes. Dwight saying he couldn't kill Negan because they're all Negan. I dislike this mainly because, like, no, you guys are not all Negan. Like, Negan is Negan. You could say you're all Negan, but you're not the one walking around giving orders and holding Lucille and all this other, you know, nonsense. Not to mention, later on, he says, well, Negan's coming plus 20 of his saviors. Well, I thought Negan, you shouldn't just say Negan's coming 20 of his saviors. If they're all Negan, hey, all the Negans are coming.
There's 21 Negans coming.
21 Negans are coming. And then Eugene even saying, like, well, I'm Negan. Like, okay, you guys all think you're Negan. I bet you if you kill Negan, they're not all going to still be Negan. Eugene's not going to still be, I'm Negan. No, someone's probably going to kill Eugene. Like, what? How did he advance before me? Someone that's hating on Eugene, like, secretly right now.
Right. There's somebody in the background looking at Eugene, like, with a mad face.
Yeah, like, what? I've been killing people for Negan all these years, and now Eugene has his ear? No. So, come on. They're not all Negan. They need to stop with that. All right, Ezekiel. I don't know what they're doing with Ezekiel. He could be a very strong character, but he needs to stop.
Stop what?
Stop with what he... Okay, his sayings. It's almost like he's staying in commentary until, like, the end of his... Whenever he dies.
Like Tropic Thunder.
Yeah, like Tropic Thunder. I don't break commentary. I don't break character until the DVD commentary or whatever. That's what it is. So, Ezekiel's saying...
Actually, I have to disagree with you.
Really?
Because I love Ezekiel. I love his sayings. I love every... In fact, that should have been on our likes list when he said, Alexandria will not fall today.
Oh, that's on my dislikes. Cease this folly. Seek allies. Benjamin's armor, do you wear it to serve him or honor him? Like, what the hell are you talking about?
You know what he's talking about? See, one thing about Ezekiel, he's already explained himself to us. He was in theater. And now he get to live it out for the rest of his life.
Does he really want to?
I think he do.
Like, so he wants to stay in character.
He hasn't broke it. You haven't seen him break character yet. This is him now. Like, Eugene is Negan. Ezekiel is King Ezekiel.
And this is kind of actually ties back into it as well. Just, it's part of the saviors, or excuse me, the kingdom people. One of the dudes that were with Ezekiel, like, on horses, he had a flag. Like they were in Game of Thrones or something. You know, Game of Thrones people march to war and they hold their flags.
Right.
One of the kingdom people had a flag.
Dope.
No.
Love even more now.
Like, what the hell? If you're able to hold something, hold a gun. Like, what are you doing? Like, this is not Game of Thrones. There's not like 5,000 of you guys.
I mean, they had to let them know the kingdom is coming.
No. It was crazy.
Just in case Negan got it confused, you know, thought everybody came from the hilltop. It's like, oh, no, that's the kingdom over there.
Right. No, I didn't like that. And this one, I think I'm going to be alone as well, but I don't know. The Maggie, Sasha, weird scenes, I didn't get that. When really? They're just, like, sitting there. And it, like I said, it reminds me of that time when in season 4, when they met Aaron, because they were sitting together and they had that little music clock thing.
Well, I appreciated those scenes because that blended everything that Abraham was telling her. Abraham was telling her that you're going to regret what you said and you're going to try to make it right. Even though Maggie don't know what Sasha said about her, Sasha spent all that time trying to make it right. And it just shows their bond, that relationship. So I think every scene they showed, every flashback meant something. And it was great.
I would have liked it more if they were trying to show the bond a little bit more. If they could have went back so many different times. Maggie and Sasha. When I think Maggie saved Sasha or vice versa. When they were with Bob. And like time when they were in the fog.
Well,
and they
I thought
you
that
know.
Also. When we watched it the first time, I was like, you know, Sasha's with a couple of people. So why they didn't show her with Bob?
Real
Why
flashbacks.
Didn't show her talk to her brother? Why?
That would have been great opportunities to bring back other characters, too, that we lost.
And it would have been cool, but I think what they did went more with the storyline. It showed us everything happening up to the day of. And when I say the day of, I mean the day that this first started.
No, but the Sasha and Maggie scenes were not from the day this started. And that's why I don't even get where they were from. Like, what were they about?
I mean, we don't know. I mean, they could have been while they were at the hilltop.
Okay. So maybe something, once again, something we didn't see. But there was no there was no communication, so it was not clear of what was going on. But you're right. It could have been, now that I'm actually talking, the words are coming out of my mouth, it could have been them just sitting there mourning after Abraham and Glenn. So it didn't come to me until just this very second. So, right. Okay.
And like I said, the flashback showed the day this all started. And the day this all started was when she woke up, told Abraham, "I have a bad feeling. I had a bad dream. You're not going to make it."
All right. Another thing I didn't like was when Jada said to Negan, the deal is for 12. Yes. And this deal, and I think we talked about it in Cast, it wasn't really clear what they meant. I know Negan was like, "Hey, people are valuable." But it really wasn't until I went online and start reading other comments. And I'm like, "Oh, okay, I get it." Like, Negan, I guess, was going to give her 12 of his men for helping out. And then he said, "No, I'll give you 10.
Yeah, that's what I said in Instacast.
Okay, well, it wasn't. Well, I was confused. Remember, even in the Instacast, I was like, I didn't get that.
Yeah, I said that she wanted 12 people.
Okay.
And I don't think that she wanted 12 of his people. I think she wanted 12 of the Alexandria people for herself.
Okay, that makes even more sense. Maybe that's why she, like you said, that's why she thought she was going to give it with Rick. Like, I'll lay with him now.
Yeah, Rick was one of them.
All right, and last is Gerald finding the carved wooden toy. Yes, I understand. We know that Dwight makes little carved toys. But at the same time, what is Dwight just walking around little carved toys in a zombie apocalypse, like, all the time? And then, like, he had, like, a magic marker on him that was able to write, "Didn't know." I get what they were doing, but it was such a small little wooden carved toy, just nowhere where no one would actually find it. So it was just weird that Daryl found it in the spot, like in this little corner in the dirt, that he found it there.
Right. And it was meant for Daryl, because I think Daryl's the only one that know.
Yeah. Like, it would have been more believable if someone else picked it up and like, "What the fuck is this?" And then Daryl would have been like, Let me see that. You know, Daryl's on mean and stuff. And then he'll be like, "Oh." But for them to have Daryl actually find it didn't make sense.
Well, I think they had to wrap it up.
No, but 10 extra seconds of somebody else, like, that would have been 15 seconds of them showing somebody else find it. But yeah, that's all I got.
No, time is money. I mean, they're kicking people in the balls in The Walking Dead. So come on now. Kicking zombies in the balls. So come on, they just had to wrap this up. They don't have to explain shit to us.
All right, well, that is it for our likes and dislikes. We'll move on to listener letters. Since this is the final episode, it's too late to write in for any more. But we will be doing Fear the Walking Dead.
Can't wait.
And that starts in June. So keep to this feed because it's on the same feed as The Walking Dead. We have an email from Chantel. Subject line is, "Cried so hard, my glasses fogged up." Oh.
Oh, man.
She wrote, "Holy shit, what an episode. I'm in awe of the writers and the actors. I'm still tearing up a bit." And she wrote this Sunday night, so I definitely agree. Like, I was pretty emotional Sunday night. It was almost like that first time when they killed...
Yeah, you were crying during Instacast.
Shut up. when they faked us out with the Glenn death.
Yeah.
Remember, I was so sad. And then when Glenn died, I was still sad, but not as sad because I gave so much emotion to when I thought he died.
Right.
"I knew we were in for a doozy when it opened with Donnie Hathaway. I should have just stopped there. This episode was so intense that I actually stood in front of the TV for the majority of it. I couldn't sit down. I kept pacing and only stopped to sip my sangria, which I chugged when the shit got really real."
Yeah, I think we were drinking too.
Yes, we definitely were. "And beautiful Sasha's beautiful send-off. It was heartbreaking as Tyrese's. Another episode that made me cry so hard, my glasses fogged up. Gary, you called it about the Junkyard Freaks being double agents. They were so shameless with their backstabbery."
Yeah.
"I was like, what kind of fuckery is this? They're going to have to be dealt with next season. A betrayal like that can't go unpunished."
They got to be punished.
Yeah, they definitely have to be punished.
I hope we kill them first.
Oh, we have no choice but to kill them first, because at this point, we can't go and try to kill Negan's people not knowing where the trash can people are. And no, the trash can people have to be dealt with. Which is why I'm so surprised that Rick kind of made the deal with them. And I think we kind of talked about this when it happened, because when Morgan first came back, he locked Morgan up and was like, "Yeah, I don't take chances anymore." It's like, you know Morgan. But these people, you're like, okay, need more guns? Sure, why not? You guys are super, you know, I'm not going to call them weird. But, you know, you guys are super different. Sure, I'm still going to give you these guns. Like, what happened to you not taking chances anymore, Rick? So, there's that. And then she continues, "You guys, when reinforcements showed up, led by Shiva, I started crying hard. I'm not ashamed of it either. Everyone looked so badass. And did you notice how stunned Rick and Carl looked at first? It was so good. So good." It was good. I'm not going to sit here and critique how, like, it happened at the very perfect moment. It would have been better if it happened, like, 10 seconds later or 10, no, not seconds later, excuse me, 10 seconds earlier. It was just so perfect, but I'm not going to take that away because it was perfect.
I love that moment. I love when Shiva came in and when they started shooting at Shiva, I was like, yes, my most likely dad's about to die. but yeah, I know. I don't know why I thought that. I'm like, yes, I predicted Shiva was going to die, but she didn't. She's a survivor.
Actually, that scene kind of made me not like Dwight, but just a little bit to forgive him a little. Because if you think about it, if he didn't slow them down, they would have been there long before Shiva and, you know, the kingdom and Hilltop showed up. So
exactly,
Carl would have definitely been dead. Rick's hands would have been hurt. Yeah, at the same time, it kind of goes back to when Maggie was talking to Jesus and Enid, and she's like, yeah, we're going. And then when Rick, even at the end, or someone was like, then, like, oh, you guys came. And she's like, we were always going to come. Like, if you guys were always going to come, what took y'all so long? Like, y'all knew what time the party was starting. Like, what took y'all so long? So, okay.
And you know what's so crazy? They came at the same time.
Yeah.
So it's like the kingdom. They went over there. Let's say, oh, yeah, let's go pick the Hilltop up first.
Yeah, let's Uber together. Like, come on, y'all. All right. She continues, everyone was so badass this episode. Aaron's husband, black dude from Alexandria who isn't struggle rate. That's Eric. No, that's not Eric. What's his name? It's Sasha's husband. Yeah, yes, she even Sasha's said, P.S. Husband. I think the actor might be married to the actress who plays Sasha.
Yeah.
Yeah, she.
So he now, is. Now he's a breadwinner.
Yeah, like maybe he'll stay on the show or whatever. We'll see. If he's not there next season, that means he went, like, we'll see him on Star Trek with Sasha, with Sonya Kamara Green. We'll see him on Star Trek next season wearing, you know, a red shirt or something. Father Gabriel with that big gun, Maggie eating it, the kingdom, Carl, everybody. I've been waiting for what Negan would say when he saw Shiva. He did not disappoint. Yeah, he was scared.
Yeah, yeah. Was shit itself.
I love Maggie's voiceover at the end. That is a tribute to Glenn that I've been waiting for. And the flashbacks were a love you tribute to Abraham. And let us finally have a glimpse into the Sasha-Abraham relationship, making his death even sadder.
It did.
It did. And their relationship was very new, and he even said it. And, like, part of me, not saying that it's not serious if they never, like, slept together, but I still don't think they ever slept together.
You gotta be kidding me.
I don't.
I mean, they woke up together that morning.
No, she was laying on the couch, and he woke her up.
Maybe that's where he put her to sleep at.
No. I don't know. Like, something just, I got vibes that they had not slept together. I do have a few questions. Where is Gregory? Well, remember, he did leave, so he's probably en route still to the Saviors. Or if they're trying to say that Gregory is the snitch, then the timing of how...
Well, we already know he's not the snitch.
Yeah, well, yeah, the snitch, I'm guessing, is Jade is. Right. And he has to be. But well,
that's who it is.
Yeah. But Gregory, I guess, is... He should be there by now because the Saviors have made it to Alexandria and back home again. So the Saviors, I mean, Gregory's there, I guess, chilling up somewhere. I don't know.
And we don't exactly know where Gregory went to. We don't know if he went to meet with Simon.
Oh,
the Saviors.
Yeah.
He could have went anywhere.
Yeah, he might have just been like, okay, this is where they're at. I'm going to go the opposite way.
Right.
Because he knew there was going to be a war.
There's probably another town that we don't know about.
Right, yeah. It's very well possible we won't see Gregory.
His brother probably have a big house somewhere.
Yeah. How much of next season will we have to deal with Negan? I'm thinking minimum half a season.
I think all of it.
All right. Minimum half, but yeah, it's probably going to be all. But if they do all, what are they going to be fighting every episode? It can't be all.
No, but I think we're going to learn a lot about everybody. I think we're going to have the Negan episodes. Probably a Simon episode.
No, there's no need for a Simon episode.
I mean, I believe they're going to give it to us.
How will they handle Dwight's character going forward? Kill him. Where the hell is Struggle Braids? He'll be back next season. Maybe he's going to this new town that Gregory went to. We'll see, because he wasn't at Oceanside. He's clearly not at the king at the Savior's place.
I still believe he was at Oceanside. I believe he probably was in the shower during the whole thing. He didn't hear nothing.
And she said, are we supposed to forget the brother exists? Knowing The Walking Dead, they'll just lightly bring him back up. And then be like, oh, y'all didn't notice him? Or I don't know.
No, The Walking Dead, they won't mention him again.
Yeah, or they may not mention him ever again. Yeah, that's possible. Or he might not show up for like three more seasons, kind of like Merle. Like all of a sudden just pop up. Or Morgan, you know, just, and then we're going to be excited. Like, oh my gosh, it's Struggle Braids. Like, and like.
Say, oh my gosh, Struggle Braids.
Who knows? We'll say something like that. Okay, and then she wrote, this email can go on and on. This episode was so good. I have no dislikes. This episode was so beautiful that I could delete it when I finished I couldn't delete it when I finished watching it. Loved it. Wow, that's good. I've never done awards, but I figured I'd give it a shot. Aang, Fear, and Ship. Everyone except the Saviors and the Junkyard Turncoats. Our people had those bastards on the run. Most likely to die is Eugene. Negan is starting to come out from under his spell. Okay, yeah, that's what I'm thinking. And have a fantastic summer, Nicole and Gary, and the rest of the Riggs and family. I'm so glad I found this podcast, Chantel. Thank you, Chantel. Just a reminder, her Twitter name is @fashionandfaith. So thank you. Very good feedback. Don't tell us to have a good summer just yet. Hope you're watching Fear. Fear the Walking Dead. It's coming around. It's picked up. I mean, it's not... Is it what it should be? No, but it's okay.
It was pretty good last season.
Yeah, there were some pretty good episodes last season, I would say. It was okay season. I'll have to go back and listen to the podcast and see what we said. But thanks, Chantel. Keep listening. Watch our Facebook page, our Twitter page, or whatever, however you listen to us, or find us, or our website, theverdictson.com, because we will be doing other podcasts. We're trying to catch up on American Crime once this is done. And then, of course, we have Empire, if you guys watch Empire. And I kind of want to do Leftovers, their final season, but I'll talk with Gary about that. No, we probably don't have time, but we may not do Leftovers, but I still recommend watching it on HBO. It was so good last season.
It is a great show.
We have an email from Sam. Subject title is Dwight's Toy Soldier. All right, he wrote, Dwight is still on Rick's side. He's the one who left the wooden soldier for Daryl to find. He wrote, didn't know on the back because I don't think he knew that the Garbage Pail people would betray Rick.
I believe him.
Yeah, I believe him too. Dwight had given Daryl a wooden soldier that he carved for Tina when Daryl first met them in the woods back in episode 6 of last season. So it's not a stretch to assume that he left that toy for Daryl to let him know he's still on their side. And I agree. And technically, he didn't give it to Daryl. Remember, Daryl was like, give me something. He's like, I don't got nothing. Give me that toy. Remember when Daryl was trying to, like, jump? I don't know. He's like, I can't let you guys just go.
Yeah, trying to bargain with him.
Yeah, when he was giving back the medicine for Tina. And he was like, I can't let you go for nothing. Give me that toy.
Yeah.
And it's kind of
let him know he was a soft.
Yeah. But I still call bullshit to how he found it. Like, I think someone else should have found it. And then, I don't know. Thanks for writing in, Sam. We appreciate
it. Thanks, Sam. I think Dwight's going to play a major role in next season. And like I was saying before, I know he didn't know about the Junkyard people for the simple fact that he did everything he could and everything he said he was going to do to slow Nigga down so they could get ready. So I don't think he would take that chance of doing that. Plus, he looked surprised when it all went down.
Right. And I'm trying to think, did we see Dwight killing anybody? Like, I'm sure he had a gun when the fighting started.
We saw Dwight run a little bit.
Okay. But I'm wondering, like, did he do, like, a lot of fake shots or whatever? He can't risk killing a savior because someone might see him, but he can always shoot and just have bad aim, which clearly he already has bad aim, at least with the crossbow when he killed Denise, so.
Yeah.
All right, email from Darth Mule, a.k.a. Jerry. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, what's up, Jerry?
Hi, guys. You two are awesome. Keep up the good work. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Let's start with Sasha. First, she will be missed. Yes, she will. But my opinion, too many scenes of her and Abraham. I guess she forgot about Bob. Yeah, I am thinking the same thing. They keep saying their relationship was new. They hadn't even slept together yet. And it was like her and Bob were like walking down the street together, telling jokes, lovey, lovey. You know, she watched him die. Like, it was like, it was almost disrespectful to Bob because it was like he never existed.
Well, I don't think it was disrespectful. I think they were showing this right here, what happened today, how it first began, and this is the ending. Well, this is not exactly the ending, but this was her ending.
Yeah.
So I think they just wanted to show her beginning and her ending to this whole Negan situation.
All right. He continues, I wonder if now Rick's crew will finally split up for good. Maggie at the Hilltop, Carl at the Kingdom, Eugene with Negan. Hope season 8 will be a lot more action, less drama. Hope they will try something new, like see if there's a cure. Oh, yeah, they only talked about that cure for, like, season 1. Maybe a little bit season 2.
Right.
Add a lot more zombies, add a lot more chaos. They're in a world where there's no laws against anything. Against anything goes. Yeah. It'd be nice if they find a cure, but I guess right now, like, the number one thing they have to do is try to survive, and that's getting rid of Negan's people. So, once right. they get rid of Negan's people, it would be nice to start seeing them try to survive. And
right, try to move on.
Move on. And maybe have the zombies come back as a threat.
Or actually try to do what Eugene suggested. Go to Washington.
Go to Washington. Yeah, see what's out there. Or at least have, send camps. Send camps of people out there. You guys go here. You guys go here. You guys go here. Come back and tell me what you find or whatever. Imagine making The Walking Dead like the TV series 24. My opinion, that would be awesome, and I bet they would make more money. Because they're in the apocalypse, their apocalypse should be about 80% more action, 20% drama. That would be kind of cool if it was, I don't know, that's a lot to happen in one day, but I think it can be done. Or even like 48 hours or something, or 72 hours, this will happen over a 3-day period or something.
Well, I just think he meant what he said about the 80% action.
Oh, 20% drama. Not necessarily a 24-hour period.
Right.
Okay. Well, hope you guys will be doing Fear the Walking Dead and Game of Thrones July 16th. You do keep doing great work. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry. Yes, we will be doing Fear the Walking Dead. And of course, Game of Thrones is never even in question. We'll be doing, that's our baby. That's our first one.
Yeah.
So if you guys do watch Game of Thrones, you didn't know we do a Game of Thrones podcast. That's our very first podcast. We started on season 5.
We started on season 5.
We started season 5. Well, we started Walking Dead season 6. So
yeah.
Oh, well. So, but I love doing Game of Thrones. It's probably one of my favorite podcasts besides doing The Walking Dead.
Yeah, we started with a little tape recorder.
Yeah, literally, no. But we've come far from where we were. I think we had like one microphone. We didn't have microphone stands, so.
Yeah, we had a microphone. We would pass it back and forth.
Yeah, so excuse, like, get past the first few episodes of our Game of Thrones, and then I think we got a little bit better. So we do try to improve, but excuse those first few episodes. So, yeah, thank you, Jerry. We appreciate you writing in. All right, we have an email from Diane in Maryland.
Hey, Diane.
Hi, Nicole and Gary. What an awesome finale. So much happened. I laughed. I cried. I screamed. I cursed. I think I experienced every emotion. Here are the best moments for me. 1. Sasha and Abe. It was nice to see that quiet moment between them. Abe's gentleness with her. Sasha wanting to look out for themselves for a change rather than Maggie. That was very real to me.
Yeah.
I agree. Like, I know Abe was like, damn. Like, even when she said, I was like, damn. But it was so real. And only reason why it took me back is because you don't really see that selfishness from Rick's crew right now. You see it from other groups. But in a way, it is kind of like, damn, like, I we're always fighting for someone else. Can we just sit back and not have to be on the front lines all the time?
Right. And we saw that happen with Aaron and Eric.
Yeah. Yeah. You're absolutely right.
And like you said before, that happened with Maggie.
Maggie and Glenn.
Yep.
Sasha's beautiful face and Donnie Hathaway, enough said. King E and Morgan, love the way he made his appeal to Morgan. Morgan, you are not stuck. And I did like when he said that.
Right.
Baby Carl taking care of business. Oh, she's calling Carl baby. Baby Carl taking care of business. I was thinking she was Judith. Yeah.
Yeah, he took care of business.
He did not hesitate. My boy. Yes, he did good. Rick to Negan, you can take my hands, but I'm going to kill you. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but I will kill you.
I love that part.
And we know when Rick says he's going to kill someone, he's going to kill someone.
But I was also thinking, like, if you take your hands.
Yeah, like, how are like, how you going to kill him? Yeah, I thought that too. Shiva, they got a GD tiger. Hilltop and the kingdom to the rescue. Everyone fighting together. It was a little confusing, but I loved it anyway. I was hoping that punk-ass Eugene would get hit, but no such luck.
Right.
Grimes family 2.0. Rick and Carl finding Michonne, crying and hugging to each other. It was too much. I'm glad you wrote that, because I had it on my dislikes list. I could have sworn, but maybe I missed it. But
well, I think you mentioned that you didn't like it last episode, how she got beat up.
Yeah, I didn't like it. And it was, like, too beat up.
I don't think so. She was slamming her head against, the wood or whatever. I actually like that she got beat up, because sometimes I get tired of shows where the main characters, they just, like, the awesome fighters. Like, right. you can't put a hand on them. So I appreciate them showing that, no, this lady has some strength. You know, she go around, she's in a junkyard, she lifting, like, old truck metal.
Right.
She don't play no games.
Maggie's monologue, it was beautiful. A great tribute to Glenn and what Team Rick is all about. Taking care of and sacrificing for family. Remember, we're the ones who win. We're the ones who live. Can't wait until season 8. Diane Marilyn.
Yeah.
I love that. I like that, Diane.
Yeah. Thank you, Diane.
Yeah, thanks for writing in. All right, we have an email today from Jean. Hey, you two. As always, love the show.
Hey, Jean.
Couple of issues with the last episode of The Walking Dead. Trees across the road? Really? I don't know. I didn't have a problem with it, but immediately my first thought was, did Dwight do all that by himself? I did think it, but it was so many, there were a few things that were wrong with the episode, but you were just so much into the moment, and you kind of, it came in your head, and that was one of them, and I just let it go, but I did think that. Like, how do you get all those?
You know, I appreciate that, because that's what he said he was going to do.
Right.
I already mentioned that, so I didn't have a problem with it.
All right. Why not take the vehicles out entirely by setting up an improv tack strip? Oh, yeah, harking back to season 1 episodes, Police Chase. Yeah, remember when Rick and Shane, before the apocalypse, when they took the bad guys out. Whoa, that was a real good callback right there, Gene.
Oh, yeah, that is.
Yeah, because they have to have that. I mean, people be having armor and all this other stuff. Yeah, right. Why don't you guys have the police things, you know?
Yeah, the little strips.
Yeah. Then, once the saviors were forced to walk, a radio could blast from trees, pulling walkers to the spot. Ooh, that's a good one, too. Another issue. Everyone was firing weapons at everyone else. Total Charlie Foxtrot clusterfuck. Yeah, I mean, it was a lot going on. I'm, like, I don't... When they were shooting, even when Daryl was like, it was like all those guns. And I was like, how is there no, like, accidental, you know... gunshot wounds happening. I mean, I know Rosita got like one little gunshot, but I'm like, no, there's, you know, they always say like a bullet has no name or whatever, and it's like people get hit by stray bullets all the time, but there's like millions of bullets flying around. How is no one getting hit? Even when Negan was leaving and he has middle finger up, I was like, okay, that's kind of cool. But at the same time, they were like firing like crazy. You're telling me nothing hit his finger? Oh, yeah.
His finger didn't get blown off?
so I agree with you there. An ambush would have been a better call. Come on, writers. It would be great if the character playing Heath was found to be with a military unit or a group of military reenactors. They could help the group or the allies with the tactics in season 8. Thank you for producing a great podcast. Oh. And if you guys don't know who Heath is, that is Struggle Braids. she's saying that'd be cool. Yeah, if he was with a military unit group or even like the reenactors, they know a lot too. Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah, that would be cool. All right, thank you.
And just also another special thank you to Jean, because she sent us an email on how to get some sponsors, which we used to kind of do a little few ads in the beginning. Like, I think when we first started Game of Thrones.
The first 2 episodes.
No, I think we did like the whole season.
And then we said, we don't want to end the party too soon.
Yeah, then we were like, okay, we're going to stop doing ads. It's not really working for us. We're still like a small podcast, so... But that is something that we definitely want to get back into it as far as doing ads. So who knows? We probably will may do ads next season. We'll have to see.
Yeah, thank you, Jean.
Yeah, thank you. And we have an email from Tiffany, and her subject line is, I wish there was excitement gif for, if I could put an email title, maybe that would be it.
Hey, Tiffany.
Yes. Hey, Tiffany. She wrote, loved it. And I'm going to start by giving my boy Carl, the 13-year-old with the fuzzy sense of moral and itchy trigger finger, a shout out. Okay, now that I have that out of the way, let me start with from the beginning. At first, I was very confused by all the different Sasha takes, but the way I took it was that those were her last thoughts about Abraham before dying. While it kind of got on my nerves, I did enjoy hearing Abraham weird sayings and such. I could have done with a few less flashbacks. I agree. I was okay with the Abraham ones, okay with it, but the Sasha Maggie ones were just a little weird. And like at one point, it was just like a flash of Sasha and Maggie, and then it went away, and it was like, okay, that was weird. Like, what do you? They were trying to be like too artsy or whatever with it.
It was a work of art.
Okay. I know everyone is sad about Sasha dying. I really liked her character. I thought she had debt, but I'm sad. If anything, I think it was way too kick-ass for me to be sad about. Oh, you're not going to give her a knife or a gun, Eugene? Bet she's going to get something for you and she turns herself into a freaking weapon? I'm sorry. This is too much awesomeness for me to mourn. So, yeah, I do like that. Eugene probably thought, like, look at me. I talked her into staying, da-da-da-da. And it's like, no. And she should have known when Eugene was like, when she's like, I still have hope for you. And he'll always remember now that that's the last thing she said to him.
Right.
And then she continues, I have to admit, for a change, The Walking Dead has fondly left us with questions, cliffhanger that makes sense for the show. Where did Gregory grow? I'm glad Maggie's the de facto leader because I think it would have been a nice twist to see how Rick's crew branches out from him, but makes their own little communities with Rick as an ally. So yeah, like Rick's people are growing.
Yeah, that is cool.
If Dwight didn't know about the garbage people, do you think Negan suspects Dwight of helping Alexandria? No, I don't think Dwight is on Negan's radar as being a traitor.
Yeah, not yet. Not right now.
How many people do you think Negan told about the garbage people and his secret deal with them? Okay, now that is something. But at the same time, he could just think that Rick's people did that just to do that. Like, okay, next time they come, it's going to be hard for them to get here. You know? It might not have anything to do with that actual visit.
He did say once he got to the trees, was like, wow, do you think they did this?
Right.
He didn't look back at Dwight and it was like, you know, how would they think about this or what happened? So I don't think Dwight's on his radar. I think he thought the Alexandria people did that and all the other obstacles that was in their way.
Right, right.
But it is crazy. And Tiffany made a good point with, you know, who did he tell about the Jagar people?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, who all knows?
Do Simon know or was he selective with who he told? And if he would have told Dwight and Dwight told, would Dwight be on the radar then?
Maybe, but I don't think Dwight's on his radar right now. The way he ran to Simon and Simon ran to him, it almost seems like they might be actual friends, not just Simon works for him, or maybe knew each other before the ZA. What are your thoughts on this theory? You guys convinced me he was a recruiter before the ZA, so now I look at everything Negan does in that light. It's possible Simon and him are friends.
Yeah, it is a possibility.
Because Simon does seem like he has a... Like, he's never, you know, like, busting Simon's balls like he does with Dwight, even though Dwight is kind of seems high up in the hierarchy of who's in charge. But
right,
we've never seen him, like, be rude. I mean, well, he was kind of rude. I think he said something today, but it was just, I don't think he was trying to be disrespectful. I think he was just like, hurry up and do this, you guys, or whatever. He did say something to Simon and Negan, I think. Simon and Dwight today.
And Simon do show, like, similar traits.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when they first introduced him, or the first time he went to Hilltop, I was like, yeah, he's too much like Negan. He needs to be his own character. But, yeah, that makes sense. They could have known each other. They could be family.
She mentions Donnie Hathaway. Thank you, Walking Dead, for introducing a whole lot of people to Donnie Hathaway, because trap music alone will kill your soul. I think Negan has or had a little crush on Sasha. That's why he kept saying he would feel the same way if she had a penis. I don't think that's true. He was impressed by Daryl's grip, but still fed him dog food and kept him chained for 2 weeks.
Yeah. Mm, right.
Yeah, because he said he's like, you're pretty and this. Yeah, so he might have had a crush on her.
He wanted to add her to his wife list.
Yeah. The MFing junkyard people. I was completely shocked. Shocked. That her stupid haircut, gibberish talking ass would even think to portray my wild eye boo, Rick Grimes. And it just seems super stupid to make a deal with Negan. How about Negan had no idea where you live or what you were even out there, but you're gonna dump the guy who brought you guns and go to the guy you're supposed to be using the guns against and make a deal? What is to stop Negan from bashing a few heads of your people making you serve him? And this bitch right. was like, I'm going to lay with him? Yeah, she's right. Yeah, because Negan now obviously knows where they live. Or maybe he's assuming that because they came in the garbage trucks. Well, I don't know if he knows. Because he's like, yeah, you made a deal with these dirty, scavenger people. Whatever he said. Like, What did he say? Something offensive.
Yeah.
So.
But she didn't care.
I'm going to tell you right now, I haven't even gotten to my favorite parts of the episode. It's going to be a long one email, and I don't really apologize, LOL. It's all right, Tiffany. We love to hear it.
Yeah.
Whenever Negan told them to put all their weapons down, and Rick was like, don't put nothing down, I knew it was going to be good. It was going to be on and popping. That was the first thing that shocked Negan.
Yeah.
I didn't even notice that part.
Yeah, when Negan said, you could drop your weapons now, and Rick told everybody, he said, no, don't put anything down. That's when, and all the guns were drawn on them.
Okay. This is after the scavenger people betrayed.
Yeah, pull their guns on them.
Okay.
And, you know, Negan did his little rant and then told them they could put their weapons down. We were like, not this time.
Right. Love seeing Father GGGG unit. I know I didn't get to say it in my 50 Cent voice. Running down the street. Let's do this. F this guy.
Yeah. And I was thinking when I saw Pastor Gabriel busting his gun, I was like, how did he kill anybody?
Right.
Was he doing that as a scare tactic? Or was he really, you know, knocking people off?
Okay, and she talks about how when Rick was brought to Carl and Negan was like, I'm about to kill both of you guys, and Rick was still defiant. And she goes, not only is Rick not scared, but he's not scared in front of Negan's people. Oh boy, Negan cannot believe that Rick was not scared of him. And Carl being a baby G, just ready to take it. And then Shiva, who looked amazing and better than that hallucinatory deer that was randomly eating gravel at the affair a few weeks ago.
Yeah. I'm still thinking, what were they thinking?
It seems like it'd be easier to do a deer than it would be tiger, but.
Unless Shiva really attacked them. They had a real tiger out there.
No.
They could have. You know, they have tigers that do that type of stuff.
Nah, I think that's a lawsuit waiting to happen. Basically, every word Negan says from the time Shiva attacks until the end is comedy gold. Actually, everything from when he shuts the coffin on Sasha is comedy gold. Yeah, Negan, he had like 5 things on our likes list.
Yeah.
I don't appreciate the junk people taking everything that was out front of the gates. Like, I'm pretty sure you came with 3 garbage trucks, not 4 cars. 7 walkers and basically dirt from the air. Like, wow, that is some next level scavenging with the whole area literally looks clean, like someone swept up. You know what? I'm glad you mentioned that because the area did look clean, but yeah, I didn't take it that the junkyard did it. I think I took it as the Walking Dead now think about it, fucked up. Because how did the junkyard people, there's no way they could have took all that stuff so fast. Remember, there usually is cars set right out front.
Right.
And she's right. When Daryl looked over, it did look clear.
It was. It was a bandit. You saw nothing but dirt roads. Unless it's junkyard people, it's just that damn good. We're going to find out next season they have tow trucks.
She said, so I guess that's it. I love the second half of the season. I thought they learned some hard lessons from the first half. Hope this all-out war includes small skirmishes and more defections and Carl being my boo. P.S. I did see a struggle braid sighting, and I thought it was actually Heath. When the shooting first starts to happen, there's a guy on or near the flatbed that could possibly be Heath, but they didn't show him up close, which means his dreads were probably nice. PPS, I always say this privately to Nicole, but one of my favorite lines from a movie is iRobot when the grandma says, did you get beat up, my John, again? And Will Smith says, no, Gigi, I was in the fifth grade. And G says, but that boy, but he beat you so bad. That's how Michonne got beat. Like, people in Alexandria are right. Like, he beat you so bad.
Yeah, they would never, ever, ever get on that. And you know what? I like that part of iRobot.
I like almost all Will Smith movies, but yeah, I like that part of iRobot.
They beat you up again.
Right.
Like, I'm a grown man now, Grandma.
Right, right. You don't remember Grandma? Yeah.
But he beat you up so bad. Oh, I think that was the best part of the movie. That was funny.
Oh, and then she finishes with, Gary, Nicole, you guys are awesome. I love your dedication, even with kids. Thanks for all you do, making my commute to and from work hilarious. And it was great meeting/listening to all of the awesome people that finally started following your podcast. I'm only slightly bummed that we're not rolling directly into Game of Thrones, but I follow your other podcasts, so I think Ballers will hold me over. So good shout out to Ballers there.
Yeah.
Let's bring that one around real quick.
Thank you, Tiffany.
Thank you, Tiffany. No, but Ballers does have its own feed. I have a really good, I know I just said I love taping Game of Thrones, but we have a lot of fun taping Ballers. It's a half hour show with The Rock.
Yeah, we have a lot of fun. A lot of fun taping that.
Denzel Washington's son, super cute, really good actor. Can't think of his name right now. John, I want to say his name is John David Washington. They really good cast, all-star cast, like super funny show. It's only half hour, it's on HBO, so we did 2 seasons so far of that. I believe Ballers comes back on, it probably comes in the summer, I think, but we'll have to check. But we'll be doing that for season 3. And she wrote, big smooches and hugs to the Verdicts and Walking Dead community until fall, my fellow fanatics. Thanks, Tiffany.
Thank you, Tiffany.
And thank you to everyone that wrote in this season. We really appreciate it, you guys taking the time out of your day. We love reading the feedback, especially when you say something that we didn't even think of. Like, it's right. Always good. I think it makes the podcast a lot more enjoyable. And thank you. We really appreciate it. So, and yeah, we hope you guys...
you make it fun.
Yeah, you do. We appreciate it so much. Oh, we actually have one more Twitter comment, and it's from David. And he said, it fell flat for me. Rick was outsmarted by Negan once again. My first target would be the garbage people. Get those guns and have revenge. And yeah, we agreed.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I don't agree that Rick fell short again. I don't agree with that part of it. Because who would have thought these people that they just discovered would turn it, you know, betray him, turn it back on him.
Right.
And who would have thought that Negan couldn't get a grip on those people? Like, Negan have other communities paying him this, giving him that. But it's like this community, the junkyard people, have their hands on Negan Balls.
Yeah, you're right.
Like, no, we're not giving you nothing. But if we're going to help you, this is what you give us.
Right, right, right. Yeah, I'm surprised that Negan was able to even negotiate or willing to negotiate. Like, as soon as they came to him, I'm surprised he didn't try to, like, slave them.
But we don't know the circumstance, because they could have been in a situation where, and I'm speaking Negan, the Saviors, where they was outnumbered.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's possible. Or maybe he's been known about them and just was like, ugh, we'll leave them alone. They live in the dumpsters. They don't have nothing to give to us.
Probably.
All right, thank you, everyone. Now for our award and prediction. And I know I mentioned last week I was going to try to get all the awards and predictions we did this past season, and I failed to do so.
Well, we could do so before the season start, because we always come with our episode before it in our predictions.
Yeah, we'll do it in our preview cast for season 8. I know, of course, Ben is one of the ones I know came true. And you had like a random extra that you said come extra true.
Number 2 that they were going to introduce a kill off.
Yeah, those are two of the ones I know that we predicted came true. But other than that, I think that's it. Because I know I said Ben for like 5 episodes. I was holding on to that prediction for the longest. So,
well, I'll give my I Ain't Fearing Shit award, but I'll wait for the prediction until our preview
cast. Yeah. That's when they show, at least we see the trailers or something.
Right. The I Ain't Fearing Shit, I mean, this is a no-brainer. It's Carl all day. Well, it could be Rick.
I'm going to go with you.
You know what?
It's Carl.
It could also be Maggie. You know, she's out there pregnant.
Yeah, I've said it before. There's a thin line between stupid and this. It's like, Maggie, what are you doing? If anybody should be sitting back, it should be you. Go yeah. and hide. No, you are not a coward to do that. They keep saying Maggie has the she's the future, and she's holding this baby. It's not like she's just in a regular pregnancy. She's in a high risk pregnancy.
Yeah, she's on the front line.
Yeah, go sit down, because you know that this baby is a part of Glenn, and Glenn's no longer here. You don't want to lose this baby.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm not going to give it to Maggie. I'm not going to judge her. If that's what she decides to do, that's what she decides to do. Hopefully she realizes the risk that she keeps taking, because it's like over and over. It's not like she was backed into a corner and she just had to. She keeps doing it.
Yeah, yeah. But everyone stepped up. Everyone deserves Dying Fear and Shit Award. But I would still have to give it to my boy Carl.
Yeah. I'm going to agree with you. Carol, like, as soon as Sasha popped out, it was like, no time to mourn that. Like, you know? Like, it was kind of like a thanks, Sasha. And it was like, boom, boom, boom. Like, it was like, go, Carl. Like, for him to be such a young boy, I think Tiffany mentioned age 13. He doesn't look 13. He looks more close. I mean, I know the actor is probably like 15 or 16 at this point.
That's it?
Yeah, I mean, he somewhere around there.
He's 21.
No, he was like 8 or 10 or something. I don't know when the show started. So he's probably like 15. I mean, I don't know. He's still in high school, but I think he just got accepted into college. So he might be 17 now, think about it. Maybe yeah. 18 now, 17, 18. Now that we're actually talking. So, but he's a young boy. And for him to do all that he does all season long, you know, even though there's some stuff that we were like, come on, Carl, how did you not kill Negan when he was 2 feet away from you? But at the same time, he did really get this episode. I was proud of him.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be with you as well. I don't think I'm going to give a prediction for most likely die. I'll wait until we do our preview cast, and then we can kind of go from there. So, you guys, it's been fun. It's been real. We'll be back in a month or two on this feed with our Fear the Walking Dead.
And if you haven't watched Fear or you only watched the first season, try it again, because it got better.
Yeah, I would say give the second season a try. I would say that. There's a lot that happened. Yeah,
go back, watch the second season, and come join us for the third season.
Right. All right, you guys. Until then, we appreciate it so much.
And if you haven't already, please go on iTunes and give us a review and rating. We will really appreciate it.
Yes, that means a lot. It really, really does. Don't think, they don't need a review and rating. Everyone's doing it. No, not everyone's doing it. Please take the time to give us a review and rating. It helps us. There's 50 million Walking Dead podcasts. We're like all the way down at 49 or something. Get us up to the top half by leaving a review and rating. It really helps us out.
Right. And go to our website and subscribe.
Yep. TheVerdictsIn.com. You can go on there and see all of our podcasts that we're doing. It even has a little bit of information about us and comments and whatever. It has everything that you could possibly want, I guess, regarding all the podcasts that we do. So TheVerdictsIn.com. Until Fear, or if you don't watch Fear, until October or somewhere around that time frame for this show, unless you guys are going to listen to some other podcasts, we will talk to you later. As always, we really appreciate you guys listening. I'm Nicole.
I'm Gary.
Peace.